All right, morning, church. Let's stand on up and worship the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4. Guitar, please. No valley, no mountain too high.
Andy, guitar,
no
please.
Power on earth, there's no distance too wide. No height or no depth can keep me from your love. No failure, no weakness, no doubt in my mind. No prison around me could keep you outside. No, not even death. Nothing ever could separate us. Nothing ever could separate us. Nothing ever could separate us. No! And when I can't see you, still I know you're here. And when I can't feel you, your promise is clear. And nothing I face. My treasure forever, with you I belong. And even in death, you won't be torn apart. Nothing ever could separate us. Nothing ever could separate us. Nothing ever could separate us. No.
Good morning. How you doing? Are you awake? That seems lame. Let's go. How you doing? All right. West Virginia's in the Sweet 16. Oh, all right. You guys don't care. I do. All right. Good to have you all here today. We want to welcome everybody. We're here to worship God. That's number one, but we're here. Hope that you're ready to connect to the Lord. We want to welcome online worship. Good. Welcome online. Everybody say welcome. All right. So we hope that you're ready to have a good day in the Lord. Everybody, right? Who? You glad the snow's melted? You want any more?
Me neither.
A lot of our verses today are coming. Our main theme today is from Romans chapter 8, and we're going to talk about how nothing can separate us from the love of God, and we're going to unpack that this week. And we're starting a new series today, so we're just going to worship God. All right, I'm just going to ask that we just get together and just worship the Lord. Wayne, you got anything on your mind, in your heart?
Andy Griffith.
That wasn't what I was thinking.
I was talking yesterday to Mark about that. So he's laughing back there. Yeah. Now, I was thinking a lot about maintenance this week. You know what I mean? Is there anything in our life we don't maintain? Is anything you guys have just set and forget it? You don't have to deal with it anymore once you turn it on? No care and feeding? Not much, right? Everything in our life is just full of just, you know, we add more things to our life. We have to maintain it. We have to maintain relationships. We have to maintain our houses, our lawns pretty soon, our lawnmowers. Hope they're ready because they'll be mowing pretty soon. We have to maintain this church. We have to maintain this worship team. There's a lot of care and feeding goes into that. Not a lot, you know, some, you know, but we just, to maintain our relationships, we have to do what? What do you got to do? You got to constantly stay in touch, send a Christmas card. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, you see them all the time, but if you don't send them a card every once a year so they can see your kids grow up, you know, when you see them again, you know, they act like you didn't care about them. And I think we get the same way with God. You know, we need to maintain that relationship with God. You know, but the cool thing about it is that God never stops maintaining us. No matter what, he's always there maintaining us. You know, he's our constant gardener in our life. You know, we can separate ourselves, like that song just said, you know, nothing can separate us. And we think about that, you know, and it's true. You know, through the covenant of blood, he's not separated from us anymore. And we, you know, we can go through our lives and separate ourselves from God all we want to, but he's not going to separate himself from us. And he needs that. He's always maintaining us. He's always sending us little notes. You know, so look out for that note. It's coming every day. You know, you say, hey, I'm still here. You know, come seek me out. And this song we're doing next, Love, Your Love Never Fails, it's the same thing. You know, we're just, you know, no matter we fail, God's love never fails. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I got.
It's good.
And my guitar is fixed, so.
Way to go, Dave.
Speaking of maintenance, my foot needs maintenance, apparently. I learned about locking clips this week. If your guitar falls, you need these things called locking clips.
In case you don't know, last week, Wayne dropped his guitar right at the beginning of worship, and it broke, and it didn't work. And Dave, way to go.
Yeah, you're the man. Thanks, Dave.
Dave Hollis fixed it.
So thanks to him, we have a guitar today. All right, you guys ready to worship now? Tell me to stop talking.
Sing that with me.
You make all things work together. together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
One more time.
You make all things work together for my good. And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean rages, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. For my good.
Everybody sing that to the Lord.
You make all things work together for my good. Jesus, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Yes, yes. You make all things work together for my good,
everybody.
You make all things work together for my
for you. With our hands lifted high in praise.
Sing it out.
And it's you, Lord, we adore. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah.
Once more.
Waiting here for you.
Lord God, that's what we are here for this day, just to wait for you, waiting for your presence. And God, as we talk about how powerful your presence is in our lives today, and how, God, may we just do more than just talk. May we just experience. And as we just wait here, may you just fill us with whatever it is you need. If we need joy, you fill us with that. If we need direction, fill us with that. If we just need to stop life and just be filled with your rest, whatever it may be, God, we pray that the good shepherd, the great good shepherd, Jesus Christ, will just come into our lives, into our hearts today more than he ever has before, and just fill us, whether we are here, whether we're part of our online worship, or no matter what we're doing right now, God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will move in mighty ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, while you're sitting there, it's time for our kids to go to Shoreline Sunday School Ministry, and everybody else say hello to each other. Good morning, good morning. There we go. How are you doing today? Everyone doing well? Okay, great. Great to have you here today. We want to welcome our visitors. We want to welcome our visitors in person. We also want to welcome our visitors online. If you're joining with us at havencc.org, or whether you're joining on Facebook Live, whatever it may be, we're just glad that you're here to be part of our worship service. And we're glad that you guys are here in the flesh. Good to see you. Hi, everybody. Good to see everyone here. And we just are celebrating God. For those of you who are here, hopefully you received a card. We'd love for you to fill that out, and we have a small gift for you. For those who are online, go ahead and drop a note. Go ahead and say hi on Facebook Live if you're watching now. If you want to, go ahead and send us an email if you're on our website, just to let us know. We'd love to hear feedback and love to see the numbers of people who are connecting to Haven Community Church and worship. And we were all part of that same church, and we're just glad that you're here. Couple different things. I do want to mention, last week I mentioned it in church for the first time, but I wanted to mention it again. We have our new app. If for those of you who have smartphones, I want you to go ahead and download that. We had a lot of people downloading this week. It's a lot easier, a lot more user-friendly, takes it all kinds of stuff. So be sure to go ahead and download that either from the iPhone App Store or the Android App Store base. You can get that as well. We do have thank you, Liz. We do have a date change. We had some, it's just one of the cool things about having a busy church. We have multiple things that need multiple area, the same area. So we had to change our tech night, the one that Wayne and Justin have been talking about. It will be Friday, March 24th, okay? Not the 31st, because there's something else on the 31st in here. But the 24th right here and 6:30. Okay, so 6:30, be here March 24th, 6:30. And if you have any other questions, you can see the information through that. Today is our last week for SOS, supporting our soldiers.
and others who are deployed. You can go ahead and add a brief note of encouragement. Drop in a flag box in the lounge area over here. They'll be collecting money and donations. If you had certain things that were donated, they'll be collecting those and putting them together to send. Also, if you wanted to just donate finances so that people can buy some things, we can do that as well. Just to go ahead and to thank the people who are deployed and our soldiers and others for giving of their own life in order so that we may be able to come here and worship freely, or that we may be able to watch online and do that without any penalty or anything else. Monarch Ministries, Shelley, are you there? You want to come on up and you'll say something in a bit, right? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sponsorship opportunity, you can see the insert that's in there, and Shelley is going to go ahead and grab a mic right there, and you can go ahead and share. Are you on?
Yeah, I think.
There you go, good. All right, Shelley.
Good morning. As Jack has mentioned several times, our community is experiencing a substance abuse epidemic, and I'm sure some of us in this congregation have been affected in a personal way. I'd like to take a few minutes to talk to you about a faith-based support for our community. Haven's Helping Hands is collecting funds to sponsor individuals in a Monarch Recovery House. Recovery or sober living houses are houses for people seeking a drug-free housing opportunity after leaving a residential treatment facility. Monarch Recovery Ministries run and operate 4 Christian homes in Cecil County. My son suffers from a substance abuse disorder and is currently living, thank the Lord, in recovery in California. He has lived in many recovery houses over the years. Drug and alcohol statistics show that 50 to 80% of people will relapse after a recovery period. And one of the main reasons is because they can't afford to live in a sober living environment. So for as little as $22, you can be a part of this mission to help. I have a table in the lobby set up with additional information if you're interested. And there's also a link on our website that if you want to donate, you can just go on that link as well. And there's an insert in your bulletin today. So thank you.
Wes wanted to give us an update from. Oh, you got one? Yeah, we got all kinds of microphones. Man.
I have a thank you letter here from Miriam's Table, and it's just like this song said. It's a thank you because this church was singing hallelujah through their action and support of this ministry. And Susie says, "Dear Haven Community." There's a song by the Christian band Audio Adrenaline called Kings and Queens that shares the message of loving all and giving love to the children around the world who live day to day hoping for someone to save them from their pain of living. Boys become kings, girls will be queens, wrapped in your majesty. When we love the least of these, then they will be brave and free. Shout your name in victory when we love the least of these. When we love the least of these. If not us, who will be like Jesus to the least of these? If not us, tell me who will be like Jesus to the least of these. Haven Community, you have done for these children of Miriam's Table with your gifts of nearly $3,901. And we will be able to feed all our children for a whole month. It is hard for us to put into words the gratitude and overwhelming joy we feel. We were strangers to you, but you took us in, just as Christ commanded, and you wrapped your ministry in his precious love around us. Susie and Miriam are going to be returning to Miriam's Table sometime in early July, and will carry with them the message of what this church has done for them. And they will share that story with the staff and the children, and the joy then will continue. And they hope to return to Haven and share updates on the Well Project and the pictures of the beautiful children, and to cover the prayers of their ministry that we can continue to follow God's call.
Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic to know that you made You know, a lot of times we hear, we give, and we don't hear the difference that is made, but that is a significant, significant difference in people's lives. So thank you very much for that. We have some other opportunities that are here. Christmas in April, that was a partnership in Christmas in April. If you're interested in that, please sign up. It's only online signups. Please go ahead and look for that. Also, today in Paris Foundation, how are we doing? Okay, today we have Paris Foundation, and the next time we have it is Easter Sunday. So we know that's a busy time, but let's not forget that those who are hungry and need things also are need on Easter Sunday. So if you're interested, please go ahead and sign up for that. And Easter Sunday is April 16th. It's not that far away, believe it or not. It seems like it was just Christmas. And then April 5th, we have our Narcan training that we do here, which is open to anyone who would like to be certified to go ahead with Narcan training. One of the other things that I mentioned last week is we usually do a church-wide study when it comes to the season that we call Lent. And this year we decided not to do that. But what we are doing is we are going to launch a study, and this is all you need. It's a study which I think is really awesome called Hope Rising. Anybody need hope in your life? Anybody? Anybody think our world needs hope? This is one of the most, this is awesome. I really, really, really like it. It's not been done by many churches at all, if any. I know of one church, the one that put it together. And we looked around, and this one just kept coming up. And I'll tell you, it's got to be God bringing it up because it's hard to find. We have these. These are all you need. And it's an $11 book. And so what we have some sign-ups here. We also have a link where you can sign up online in order to participate in Hope Rising. But we want to show you this brief video real quick, and I'll go ahead and share some more information.
Put together the most exciting, compelling, relevant, life-changing series we've ever done coming out of Easter. And I think when I say the title, it's going to resonate with you immediately. Hope Rising.
I had a package at the door that contained $400 worth of gift cards anonymously.
And 2 years into our marriage, we found out that we had infertility on both sides.
To be present and experience God where I'm at and experience what God is blessing me with.
My youth pastor was killed unexpectedly in a motorcycle accident.
By myself with two little kids wondering if he was gonna make it through. And all I had was prayer.
That God is a God who does not give up. He didn't give up on so many misfits, so many screw-ups, so many people who time and time again just thought that they could save themselves, but he never gave up on them.
Don't we live at a time where we all need hope? We need it in our families, we need it in our careers, we need it in our relationship, we need it in our finances. We need hope.
All right, Hope Rising. Sounds pretty good, huh? And you get some real-life stuff there, which I really, really like. So what's going around in here in the church is a sign-up sheet, and it also is a sign-up if you would like to host. All you have to do as host is be there and anybody play a DVD player? I know that's getting very more difficult, but for people to do them. But we'll have DVDs, and we also have that if you're a more creative host and you want to play it through Drive Online. Also, we're working out having maybe even an online class as well. We're in some of those areas that we can also work with that. But I think it's great. We're launching this on Easter Sunday. So what a great way to talk about hope than Easter Sunday. Sound good? Sound good? All right, good. Okay, a couple of things I want to lift up for prayers today as we look through here. Emily Hewitt has asked to lift up Mark Whitmore, who has gone through some serious medical issues and has to go through more testing. Sandra Frederick has listed Andrew Biggs, who's recovering from a fall, and a silent prayer for a newly diagnosed breast cancer. Looks like Noel, Christy, John, and Colin to pray for our aunt. Her name is Carolyn. She just passed away because of cancer, and we miss her very much. So these are some young kids who put this down. That's awesome when young kids put down their prayer requests before God, and we want to pray for them. And Katie asked for prayers for a coworker, Robin, who was found a couple days ago unresponsive and is currently in ICU. So we want to lift her in prayers as well. Okay? Any others that we can add very quickly to our prayer list? Yes. Wanda, who's having a knee replacement. Okay, we want to lift her up. Others? Yes. Yes, continue to lift Ray Caldwell and family up there as well. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Just as we just sang, we're waiting here for you. We're kind of unsure about how everything is in life, but we're waiting. We're looking for you. We're searching for you, God. And during this time, we just ask for your presence to be more real to us than ever before. And so, Lord, we have so many needs, so many concerns. In the midst of those concerns, we know that you are still God, and you have all answers. We want to lift up those who have loss and have experienced that loss. We want to lift up those who are needy, whether it may be through homelessness, whether it be through addiction, whether it just be those who are going through financial troubles, those who are going through health issues, whatever it may be, God, we know that that only you can make a way. So God, as we continue our worship this time, we come to the time here where we give thanks back to you through our tithe, your tithe and our offerings. So God, we just pray that this is just not just another time where we stop, but we continue to display the attitude of worship. We focus on you. So many things, God, that exist. And sometimes we just need to stop. Just to stop and say, thank you, God, for who you are. We ask all these things in your name, and we ask that you multiply these. We ask that you give a special blessing upon the giver and the tither, whether they give here in person or whether they're giving right now online or by some other means. God, you know how it's coming in, and we know that you do the miraculous. There are so many needs, and just we pray that we will be your servants. In Christ's name, amen.
Beautiful. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Romans 8:37 through 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right, welcome to church again. I guess I get to say that. We are going to start a new series. It's a little more mellow than our dog, right? Our dog's running a little bit more mellow. This will take us up till we get to Easter. And then Easter, we are going to start Hope Rising. So we're going to have a good time. I think this is an important series, though. God didn't, and I can't. When I want to believe, but. Anybody ever been in those situations? Let's be honest. You know, you don't have to be real churchy right now, okay? You don't have to be real churchy. That there are moments in our lives where we really, really want to believe in God, but things happen. You know, one of the reasons for the basis of this new series, God Didn't and I Can't, is over the last 10 to 20 years, I've seen the church change, okay? You know what I mean? I've just seen a shift in change. In 2018, believe it or not, Haven will celebrate 10 years. We will start 10 years as a church. Now, some of you were there. A couple of you were there at the very first service, right? So that means you're old. Some of you may have been at one of my first services when I became a pastor. In 1996, I became a pastor, and so that is 21 years ago. So that means now I can serve real wine at communion because I'm 21 years. Get it? Okay, there we go. But a lot has changed in those years when it comes to church. When I started out, I just remember as a kid that there weren't many people who didn't believe in God. You know what I mean? There didn't seem like to be a lot of them. Do you agree with me? It just seemed like there wasn't a lot of people who didn't believe. See, people did believe. But now I've seen that there are those who, it seems like there's a larger group of people who don't believe in God. There's still people who believe in God, but what I see is this growing group that are people who say, I want to believe, but. I want to believe in God, but there's this stuff that happens. Like, for instance, I prayed for my parents as a teenager, and yet they still got divorced. You know what I mean? I prayed for healing, but. Or you may have been somebody who said, you know, I was part of the church and I did this, but that church did something. Anybody with me here? Does this resonate with anybody? Anybody have a conversation with somebody that said, hey, I hear you with God, but, okay? And so I think that's a good place for us to start today. And one of the things that I believe is there's a lot of the people who don't believe or say they don't believe or in that but range is because I believe that they're rejecting God, but I don't believe they're rejecting the true God. And what I'm saying about that is I believe that we have in our minds a distorted or warped image of who God is. Anybody believe that at all? Hopefully you'll see some more of this. In this series, I'm going to give you four warped views or distorted views of God, and I want to deal with these things. So next week, what we're going to deal with is party pooper God. Okay, God the big party pooper. For instance, it's like, I want to believe, but there's all these rules and regulations and no fun. How many have ever heard that? I just want to have fun. And God's a party pooper, so we're going to deal with that one. We're going to deal with party pooper God. In 2 weeks, we're going to deal with tingly all over God. That God, I want to believe, but I just don't feel you. Feelings, right? We want those tingly feelings. We want to feel God. We want to feel good. Hey, I feel good. That's the kind of stuff we want from God, right? And then the last week, we're going to deal with one that I think a lot of people struggle with, is the callous and heartless God. That God's just heartless. You know, God, if I want to believe you, but you just did this. And God, I want to believe you, but man, come on. How does that love? Okay? Anybody ever heard any of those? And so we're going to deal with those three, and today we're going to start with another one. Before we get into today's topic, I was thinking about some stuff that's going to lead us there. And I know that a lot of stuff that we do, we talk about internet, we talk about Snapchat, we talk about texting and all this stuff, but I want to take you back to a time, a great time called the 1970s and 80s. All right, that some of us were there, some of you were not even thought of. Don't raise your hand and make me feel old. But we know that you, some of you were not there. But I want to take you down the road, and I want to talk about some TV shows. Okay? Huh? I'm going to talk, no, we're later than that. We're going to talk about some TV shows. So here's some of the TV shows, and they were always paired together. Some of these really good shows were paired together because they wanted to keep you watching, remember? So here's where I go. How many of you remember The Love Boat and Fantasy Island? The Love Boat.
The plane, Buff. Good money, Buff.
Right? You remember Hervé Villechaize? How many watch those shows together? All right, Saturday nights, right? What about this? Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. Okay, there we go. How about, and there was also, how many are older and remember Happy Days and Welcome Back, Cotter? There you go. Hello, Mr. Cotter. All right, here we go. How many remember Dukes of Hazzard and Dallas? And then if you really hung in there, it was Dallas and Falcon Crest. There we go. All right. Oh, Knott's Landing. I forgot Knott's Landing. There we go. How many remember the coolest one for me, the $6 million man and the bionic woman? Right? Remember that? I had him, and you could look through his eye in the back. All right. Here. Anyway, how many remember All in the Family and MASH? Or All in the Family and Maude? Okay. How many remember Sanford and Son and Chico and the Man? All right. And Wednesday was a great day. Eight is Enough and Charlie's Angels. Charlie's Angels. All I have to say is Farrah Fawcett poster. You know what I'm saying? All right, there we go. And how many remember Chips and BJ and the Bear? They used to pair these things together, and you just sit and watch, wouldn't you? And here's the interesting thing. I'm going to shock some of you. You ready? I'm going to shock you. You had to actually sit in front of the TV at the time it was on and watch it, and you had to suffer through every commercial. Anybody remember that? I know we're all in shock because now we live in a time where we just pull it up and binge watch. How many love binge watching? Isn't it great? I remember the first thing I ever binge-watched, it ruined my life, 24. I think it took 24 years out of my life to binge-watch it, but I love just binge-watching stuff. No commercials or anything. It is incredible. And that's where we live in our lives. We have an on-demand life, don't we? How many of you right now have either a Netflix or how many have Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or something like that you can pull off? Shows, exactly. How many have it on your phone that you can pull it up right now? There you go. That's where we are in our world. We have an on-demand. We like everything on demand. How many got really excited at the Super Bowl when you saw that Amazon may deliver with drones? I went, hallelujah. You know, I thought the Lord was returning. You know what I mean? That we can get it. I've had so many people say, Amazon's putting something close. That means we can get same-day delivery. Yes! There's more to Prime. And we live in this on-demand kind of life, this prime delivery kind of mindset, to the point that I think it's bled in, and we believe it's the same way with our God. That we believe that we have an on-demand God and a prime delivery God. That in other words, what we're going to talk about, we have this warped view of God, and Jesus told us to pray Abba, which means daddy. So what I think we think God is our sugar Abba. That we think God is our big sugar daddy in the sky, that when we want it, he brings it. What is a sugar daddy or sugar Abba? Where we believe that God should always do what I want and always make me happy. Isn't that love? Isn't that how he displays his love for me? By always doing what I want and always making me happy. You see, but there's times where we get, with that warped view, we struggle. I believe in a sugar daddy God, but it's going to change with the way I really believe. Let's look at this, because you may have gone ahead and say, you know, God, look, I tithe, I give financially, and I give to the poor, and I serve at Paris Foundation, and I've given to Miriam's Kitchen, but God, I'm still struggling financially. You know, I prayed for that my marriage to work out, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, but it broke up anyway, so God... You know, I prayed for the healing of my loved one, and yet they died. And God, I wanted a baby. We wanted a baby more than anything, and there's so many people who don't even want a child, but I still don't have one. And what we end up doing is with this view of his sugar daddy God, we start to say, God, you're supposed to love me and supposed to give to me, but it's not here. And what this tends to do to us is it messes with us when we begin to say, well, where are you, God? And if God does not do what he could do, then we end up saying several things. Then God's not real. That's where many people get to. He can't be real. Or maybe God is not as strong and powerful as I think he is. Or maybe God just doesn't love and care about me or anybody else. Where's my sugar daddy, God? Where's my sugar Abba? Where's my sugar daddy? I want to tell you, I'm going to start this by giving you an answer. Sugar daddy God does not exist. It doesn't happen. When we look at the grand plan and the grand focus of the cosmos, we need to find out where we are. And I'm going to tell you something really important right now. God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. And when we have this view that God is our sugar daddy, we have a mindset that God exists to serve us. And that simply puts us as God. But God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist and we're created to serve him. We are not the main focus of the universe, as we may say. God is not our Santa Claus in the sky taking our list and surprising us with all these good things. God is not our prime Amazon God or our drive-through person on the other end of the speaker. Prayer is not a drive-through to say, hey, God, I haven't checked in a while, but I'd like this, this, and an order of fries with it too. And he says, okay, no problem, Jack. There we go. It's not who God is. We exist to serve God because who he is the creator. And if he's the creator, then guess what? We are the creation. He is the potter, as the scripture says, and we are the clay. To be molded into him, his image. He is the Lord of all and our Father, and we are his children and his servants. My goal in this series is that we get to know the one true God. All right, Jack, so if he's not our sugar daddy, then who is he? I want to give you three thoughts about God and who he is. You ready? Got your seatbelt? Let's go. All right, God is always loving. Everybody say loving. God is always loving. How many people are parents here? Okay, I want to ask you, how many think you're a good parent? I mean, you mess up. Every parent messes up. How many think that you're a pretty good parent? All right? Okay, I was hoping that the same hands would raise there, okay, if not. I want to tell you two things that if you're a good parent that I know. Number one is you always love your children. You may not always like them. Matter of fact, you may not like them very much at all. Particularly if they're teenagers, correct? All right. So, but you may not love, you always love them. You never, never, ever stop loving your children. But there's some times that you just really don't like being around them, right? Okay, and here's the second thing. You do not always do what they want you to do, even though you could. So you always love your parents. I mean, your parents always love you. But you don't always do what your children want you to do, even though you could. correct? Why not? If you were a loving parent, you would do whatever they want you to do, right? Like, for instance, let's look at it this way. Anybody have kids in sports or dance or some other kind of extracurricular activity, there we go, where they had to take, like, a bag or something with them? How many said, hey, or scouting or something, how many said, hey, don't forget your bag? And then they call you, Mom, Dad, can you bring this? You go out and you say, okay, here you go. Third time they say, hey, you say, don't forget your bag, don't forget your equipment, don't forget, I'm not bringing it to you. And they call and go, Dad. And you say, enjoy, I ain't bringing it. How many say, don't forget your lunch? I put lunch money up here for you. Don't forget to take your lunch money. Don't forget to take it. Lunchtime, 12 noon. Ring, hey, can you bring your lunch? Nope. Enjoy starving. Am I right? How many of you have ever done that? Could you have gotten in the car? Could you have taken it? How many of you have and are just tired of doing it? The reason why you don't do that is because you love them. You want to build something more in them. Because there's going to be a time where mommy and daddy aren't going to be able to do everything for them, right? So many times we exist in this point. We say, don't forget your keys because I won't be here when you get home. And they call you, hey, Mom, I forgot my keys. Enjoy sitting outside. Hopefully it's not 30 degrees. They will remember the next time. Am I right? Because we love them, we want to instill something greater in them, like independence and character and responsibility, so we could meet the need at that moment, but our plan for them is higher than what they experienced at the time. Am I right? It's the same thing with God. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8 that was read to us today by Ron. It says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, I want to tell you, I doubt that many of you this week are going to be naked with a sword pointing at you. If you are, call me right away. I want to hear the story. You with me? Not many people that are naked with a sword in your face in Cecil County, Maryland, or wherever you're viewing today. Am I right? I don't hear that much. If you get that, please put that on Facebook right away or call me right away. I want the rights to that story. But anyway, how can we update it for today? For instance, who should separate us from the love of God? Should financial problems, should depression, should cancer, should heart disease, should unemployment, should divorce, should estrangement, should that separate us from the love of God? And listen to what the response is in 37. What does he say? No. Everybody say no. That was weak. Give me a good no. No. There you go. No. Nothing. No, 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 no. He says, should all this stuff, everything in the world, should it separate us from the love of God? And you know how many people I've talked to? You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's happened in my life. No way God can love me. Right here, wipe that out of your mind. It says, no, nothing you can think of can separate you from the love of God. And one problem with the church today is we find things to separate God's love from people. Where we begin to rank sins and all kinds of stuff, and we begin to rank things and say, oh, this is bigger than what I'm doing, and that separates you, and God doesn't love you. That is crap from the pit. That's the Jack translation, okay? That he says, can any of this stuff separate us from the love of God? We could add to that some of the things. Shall homelessness, shall addiction, shall all these things separate us from the love of God? He says, no, no. Because in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm convinced. For I am convinced. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you hear nothing else in this series, grab hold of that and hold on to it. Grab hold of it and hold on to it. I remember several years ago, I came across a video where Dad was in the hospital and he did a video. Some of you may remember that, and I may put it up this week just so people can view that. But it was just talking about difficulty and when you're down in life. And he was in the hospital, and I remember the last thing he said in that video was this, that when everything's falling apart, you just tie a knot in a rope and hold on. This is that rope that you have in your life. Tie a knot right there and hold on. And hold on to Jesus. There is nothing that separates us from the love of God. And what we need to realize is this. God does not prove his love for us by answering prayer. God proves his love for us by sending his son Jesus. Let me say that again because you got to get this. God does not prove his love for us by answering our prayers. Just as parents, we don't prove our love for our children by answering everything they want us to do. God proves his love toward us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And that's all we need. The scripture tells us that God sent his son while we were yet sinners. That in our mess, in everything that separates us from God, God still loved us enough to send his son, Jesus. What I want to tell you is, number one, the scripture is very real that God is always loving, is always loving us. All right, that's number one. Number two, we talked a little bit about this last week, but God's ways are always higher, always higher. There are so many things that happen in life that many, if you're like me, we wonder, God, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing, God? And people have come to me year after year after year when people who are strong, who have a strong faith and life seems to break apart in them, and they wonder, what's going on here? God, what is going on? And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have a clue. I don't know. I have no clue. I am not going to even begin to think this mind has a clue what God's doing. Like, for instance, if you have a child that is born with terminal cancer or deformity, or there's a great person, a person who loves God and who loves people and is a philanthropic, they give and they serve, and then they're hit by a drunk driver and killed, and the drunk driver walks away. It makes no sense to me. Or there's a natural disaster. Like, I knew a family years ago, early in ministry, who had a stepsister who was down in one of the hurricanes in Florida. She was about 8 years old, and a board came through the boarded up window, struck her in the head, and killed her. And the family had to watch her die because nobody could get to her. I have no clue, and that makes no sense to me. Or other people who are just going to work one day, and then all of a sudden 9/11 happens. Or people who are just meeting in a marketplace and terrorism happens. Or people who take their children to a daycare. And you remember the Oklahoma City bombing. Makes no sense to me. I don't know how that happens. I don't know why it happens. But I can tell you this. I can tell you the truth. That I can hold on to the truth of this, that God's ways are much higher than mine or anybody else. Last week, I went through some of this verse from Isaiah chapter 55. It's printed in your bulletin once again, and it has another verse in it this week. But God says something that I don't really like all the time, but it's true. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There are times when we just have to come to a point of peace and say, I don't have a clue what God's doing, but I got to trust Scripture and say, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows, he knew me before he ever created me, and he knows what's going to happen at the end of all this. I've just got to trust him. Just got to say, go ahead. Like, for instance, and this is kind of an unusual thing, but how many of you have ever been to a sporting event? Anybody? And for years of my life, I always sat in normal seats. I had season tickets 1 year to the Phillies, sat in, like, upper right field, and it was fun. Always went there as a kid. I'd take my glove, you know, but often I'd be in the nosebleed sections, and it would have to be a mammoth shot from a cannon. But anyway, you know, I sat there with it. Anybody else with me? And then one time, And, you know, I used to always look in those, when they started putting those super luxury boxes in, I'd say, those people think they're real fans up there in their nice air-conditioned areas with whatever else is going on in there. And I remember sometimes I'd walk up to the section and you see, like, people standing there like it was, you know, trying to get into the White House or something. You know, they were standing there. Unless you had the right ticket, you were not going in. And then one time, somebody invited me, and I got a chance to go through. And I usually when I would go up and I turn left to go sit in the seats where you burn up all day and you eat overpriced hot dogs and drinks, I got to go to the super luxury box. And a whole new world opened up for me. Where you go up and they've got cheesesteaks, and you don't have to pay for them. It's all included. You got pizza. You got all you want to drink. It's just constant. You got somebody who's there for you. You have your own bathroom, praise God. It was amazing. And you're looking and you're going, this is how it really is good. So I turn to the right. And, you know, I love turning to the right. Now when I go to the games and I go back and I'm looking at the left, I'm thinking, I missed the right. I want a cheesesteak. You can have one for $75 out here. No, I want to go in there. I want to go with the real fun people, the real fans, right? I do this to myself. For years, I always loved going this, and I always thought, that over there is not real baseball fans, real others. And, you know, I got to go there, and I found out it is, and it's a heck of a lot more fun. You see, I think that's how God is with us many times. And how our relationship, that God has a luxury box plan for us, but we keep going left. We say, God, I don't know what's behind there, so I'll just go over here. And yeah, I'll have the guy spilling beer on me and people throwing up on me in the 700 section, right? I'll deal with that because I'm a real fan. And my shoes will have stuff stuck to them that I don't even know what it is. And sometimes that's how we go through life. God, I'll just plot through this area. You know, you tell me that I can have life and have it abundantly. God says, Jack, I got this for you, but you keep wanting this. I've got a luxury box for you, Jack. That's what I want for you. And so some of you may have said, you know, remember that guy that you were dating so much and you wanted to marry and you just loved, and you loved so much and he crushed your heart. And then years later, you see Cheap Seat Boy and you realize that you got luxury man. You know what I mean? Or you may have put in for the house. I need that house. This is the house. Oh, gosh, God, this has to be the house that you have. That has to be the house for me. I'm sorry, you didn't get the house. And you're like, God, what? And then later down the road, you have something at a better deal or something that works better for you and your family. And you kind of forget to say, wow, God, you knew what was going on. Or that job. I need this job. This has got to be the job that I have. This is the job. Oh, this would be the perfect job. You don't get it. And you get mad at God. And then down the road, God put you in a different place. What about that child who was born with deformities? Guess what? After a while, you realize this child is the greatest blessing in our lives. Or that great person who was struck down in their prime and were such a good person. And God didn't cause it, but God will use that situation in order to bring many to Him. And you start to see with eternal eyes, an eternal view that's not always here, and you realize God's ways are higher. You realize God is always loving, and His ways are always higher. Because here's what we find out. Even though I may not understand now, someday I will recognize that God was and is faithful. Was and is faithful. Jeremiah 29 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you." How many want a plan for your life to prosper you? To not harm you. How many want a plan not to harm you? To give you hope and a future. If I had that for you up here, would you pay $19.95 for it? You're darn right you would. All right, number three. Everybody good? Number three. So we have the first couple things. We have that God's ways are higher, that God is always loving. And now we have God's presence is always more than enough. God's presence is always more than enough. And what I hope that you'll recognize in this series is that you're settling for far less. God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you. You see, when the negative and the bad comes, don't worry about what will happen to you because God is with you. Don't worry what's going to happen to me because God is with me. And David, anybody know David? David, the little shepherd boy, Goliath, boom, that became king of Israel. Let's look at what David said. David came to know this. And you may say, well, Jack, that's David. But I got to tell you, if you read what David is attributed to writing, David questioned God more than anybody in history. He was angry with him more than anybody, maybe next to me. But he was angry with God in amazing ways, and he questioned him. But as he grew and had this heart for God, as he grew, he began to understand that God was with him. And in Psalm 23, which is one of the greatest psalms that many of us know, it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters," or quiet waters. "He refreshes my soul," or restores my soul. "He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." For what? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love or mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You are with me is what David got out of everything. Out of all David's life, he understood God was with him, and his presence was enough. I've always been pretty honest with you, and I'm going to continue to do that in ministry, because that was a deal God and I made a long time ago. And several months ago, I was reaching a point of impact or an area of where I was broken and done in everything in life. I had to deal with depression and anxiety from facing it from the front, face to face for the first time in my life. I really dealt with it rather than just pushing it down and keeping it aside. I was emotionally spent. I was frustrated. And I needed to just get away. As a matter of fact, a child of mine, I'm not going to tell who it is, came in and asked something while I was in this moment. And it was like I was completely done with everything and everyone. Anybody been there with me? I was just done, and I just needed to go. I didn't know where I was going, how I was going, except for in the car, and I just got and I went. The phone would ring because I have a wife who cares about me, and I have people who care about me. I didn't want to answer it. I just wanted to disappear. The pressures of life had gotten to a point where Jack could not handle it anymore. I was lost, and I just went somewhere. I'm not going to tell you because you might try to find me there if you can't find me again. And I sat in this place that was pretty remote and just wanted to hear something. And God told me nothing. So I sat some more, and I got up, and I walked some more. And God told me nothing. God told me absolutely nothing, but as I was there more and more, I began to experience his presence without his voice. That I just knew in this darkest valley of my life, God was there. Apart from him talking, because I got to tell you something, here's a hint. Sometimes just shut up. Sometimes we are talking way too much to other people and to God, and one of the best things we can do is just shut up and be present. And I just needed God to shut up and be present. And he was. He didn't give me anything that made me go, "Woo, here you go, Jack. You didn't pick me up and whisk me away like Elijah or anybody else." He just was in the midst of this. You see, as we look at the 23rd Psalm, there are some things that we can learn from this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. God loves you enough to have an intimate personal relationship with you if you will just let him. And when you shut him out, you're shutting out the greatest relationship that you could ever have. When you're giving it halfway, you're giving a half-committed relationship to God. And it's not going to be good. Imagine if you committed to your significant other as much as you do to God. How good's that relationship? I lack nothing. That's called provision. God wants to provide for you. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. How many of you need a good rest? Anybody need a good rest? He leads me beside quiet waters. That's refreshment. How many need a little R&R from God? He restores my soul. How many have some brokenness that you need God to just heal? That you may have buried for years. That you may still be struggling with, or it may be fresh. That you need God to bring a healing to your soul. He guides me in paths, in right paths. How many ever taken a wrong turn down a path in life? How many need God to guide you in the right way? How many right now are at a crossroads and you do not know where to go? Some of you, I'm not even talking to the young people. Some of you are making huge decisions like where to go to school. And that may affect your entire life. You need God's direction in that. Some of you right now are in a relationship that you don't know where it's going to go, and you need God to lead you in that relationship. He leads me along right paths, guidance for his namesake. That's purpose. God has a purpose for you, for your life. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, testing and trial, it struggles, and God is there with you in that. I will do what? I will fear no evil. God wants to protect you in the midst of that. Psalm 91, my favorite psalm, says, 1,000 will fall to the right and 10,000 to the left, but those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, what I've learned, and I've watched those tornado videos and those hurricane videos. You ever see where people like, get underneath the barrier, and they get underneath there? And I've seen Helen Hunt in Twister. All right? When you get under there, you're safe, but it doesn't mean you're immune to the wind and the junk floating around. God will protect you, but you still got to deal with stuff flying around you. I will fear no evil. For you are with me. That's God's faithfulness. Remember I said he's faithful. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Anybody know what a rod and staff was used for? If the sheep were not paying attention, they take a little rod and go, no way. How many of you just need God to take a rod and just kind of crack you in your rear end to get you moving? Anybody? Need God to just kind of, boom, oh yeah, sorry God, I got to get going. And the staff had a crook at the end. You know what that was for? Because sometimes sheep are stupid. And sheep like to go wander off. And so what they do when they get off path, you need that hook and go, get back over here. How many need God to pull you back on? You know what that's called? Discipline. Don't despise discipline of God. Parents, how many ever discipline your kids? Anybody ever ground your kids? Anybody take a phone? Keys to the car? They're firstborn? All right. You do that because you love them. Anybody got whipped before? I bear the scars for the Lord on my rear end. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. Oh, God, though, I'm surrounded by this mess. I'm eating well and I'm taken care of. I got a luxury box in the midst of the 700 section. God, you're taking care of me. There's hope. You anoint my head with oil. That's called consecration. In the scripture, when they anointed you, they set you apart. God set you apart. God said, you're my kid. I'm setting you apart. My cup overflows. How many like abundance? God doesn't only prepare a table for you. He's got a smorgasbord. That should have got an amen if you're hungry. I can talk another couple hours. We'll get you hungry. Surely goodness and love, or undeserved love, mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell in the house of the Lord, that is security. Forever, that's eternity. Did you ever look at the 23rd Psalm like that? You see, God's presence Corrie ten Boom said, you never know God is all you need until God is all you have. You never know God is all you need until God is all you have. I'm here to tell you something today. There's a great old hymn. Old hymn. And it's got one of the greatest things that you can ever imagine. That God of the good mountaintop. You know, I always thought, I always loved the mountaintop parts, right? I love the point where God and I are like, woo, we're rocking, the Spirit's moving, and you're like that. The good God of the mountaintop is still the good God of the valley. And in my life, you heard me say it more, I have learned more about who God is in my darkest valley because that's where I feel his presence. And my hope and prayer for you is that you recognize this is who God is. He's not your sugar daddy. He's not your sugar daddy. Everybody say, look at the person next to you, say, he ain't my sugar daddy. But he's here. He's here and he loves me. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand now. Everybody stand. Lord God, we come to you today and we just thank you for who you are once again and that we're learning exactly who you are. And so today, God, somebody who has struggled with, you know, God, I want to believe in you, but you're supposed to be my sugar daddy. You're supposed to be my sugar Abba. You're supposed to, there's more to God, like more to Prime. There's more to God. Come on, just drop those blessings out on me, God. Just give me what I want. But God, that's not who you are. Because you don't exist to, you don't exist to serve us. We exist to serve and glorify you. So God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that in times that I don't understand a word of what you say or what is being done around me, may God, you didn't show your love to me. Doesn't mean you don't love me by not answering the prayers the way I want them to. You know, Scripture never talks about unanswered prayers. It talks about God always answers prayers. Just like I always answer my kids, sometimes it's no. But God, I thank you that you don't show your love for me by doing what I want. But you show your love for me by sending your son who is exactly what I need. And so your ways are higher than my ways and I don't understand, but I recognize that you're faithful. And God, right now in this room and around, as we're here in the darkness and the quietness of our hearts, and wherever we may be watching today, I just ask that people pray wherever you are. But God, I just hope that we recognize that your presence is more than enough. That even though that there's somebody right now who is walking through a dark, dark, dark valley, that valley of the shadow of death, that they just feel the darkness. Did you say, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I've been with you all along. I'm your shepherd. I want relationship with you. I love you. This is about eternity. This isn't just about now. It's about eternity. And I'm more concerned about doing something in you and in your life and just making it easy right now. Thank you, God, for who you are. That good God of the mountaintop is still the great God of the valley. So, God, I just want to pray right now for everybody here and those who are watching, anybody who's part of our church right now. God, I believe there's somebody here today that has said, God, I want to believe, and gosh, but God didn't, so I can't. God, I just ask that you help them reshape who you are. That somebody today right now is, for the first time, feeling the tug of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They're saying, God, I need a Savior. I need somebody to pull me out of this mess. And they may not hear you, God, but I just ask that your presence surround them. You feel that presence. If that's you, just say, Jesus, I need you. I don't know what all I need theologically, but I know I'm a mess and I need you. I need that plan of yours to give me, to help me prosper, to give me hope and a future, to not harm me. I need that. And that's only achieved through you. God, for those of us who may have slid off a little bit, may have been that sheep that kind of has wandered away, that God, I thank you for your staff that is pulling us back. I thank you for your rod that is giving us a little hit in the rear end to get us going forward for you. We love you, God. Minister to our hearts as our Stephen ministers come up and are ready to pray and be open to pray with whoever. God, make a way. Do your thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is risen, he is alive. has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Song awesome. I love that. Just to write, he is glorified. So this week, what I want to take with you, God's presence. God is more than enough. All right? Everybody good today? Okay, next week, God the party pooper. Okay, God's going to poop on your party. All right? I want to, God didn't have fun, so I don't want to. All right? So I want you to have a great week. And say hi to somebody. Everybody say hi to everybody. My new friends who watch online from Chicago and California. So, hey, how you doing? So, okay, have fun, guys. Have a great week in Jesus.